And now something completely different.
Good afternoon. I'm speaking to you live just outside.
I like to think balding is just God's way of saying, now let's see you get laid.
Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
What I'd really like to do is put the greatness of this man in perspective.
The Hair Loss community has a lot to be thankful for, having you as a spokesperson.
You mean you just call this guy up?
About life and about reality.
And now, America's number one reality radio show for men. Live from Los Angeles, it's Spencer Coburn's The Bald Truth.
Hey guys, welcome to the show, 888-659-3727. You know, it's amazing. I actually just fixed my microphone, and I'm going to have to ask at some point when I bring Joe up and I pop him up if my mic is too loud. But thank you guys for waiting. Thanks for everyone who's holding on, who's been holding on for the last 15 minutes waiting for the broadcast. If you are new to the show, don't know who I am, why I'm here, I'm a consumer advocate for men and women dealing with hair loss. I am the author of The Bald Truth and The Truth About Women's Hair Loss. I also happen to be the founder of the American Hair Loss Association and the International Alliance of Hair Restoration Surgeons. I am a guy who essentially thinks about nothing but hair loss. Now, that sounds – yeah, it doesn't sound fun. I realize that. But because I began dealing with hair loss at such a young age and because I was so consumed by it, because it started to happen to me at such a young age, I chose to make this my career. Now, if you were actually watching the program as opposed to listening to the podcast or listening to the show on iTunes Radio right now, or if you've downloaded the podcast through iTunes or through GFQ or through The Bald Truth, you probably noticed that I do have hair in my head. Well, the reality is that I have been lucky enough to really slow down the progression of my hair loss for the last 30 years. I am almost 52 years old, started to lose my hair at the age of 21. I was somehow lucky enough and had the wherewithal to make, in general, make the right decisions, not jump into surgery, not, you know, use gray market products and services that, you know, really would have made me lose a lot of time. Now, that's not to say I didn't spend a lot of money on bullshit back then, because you have to understand, this is back in the late 1980s. So there's really nothing out there that was available to truly prevent or treat hair loss. So when I started, it was a much different time. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit, because, you know, a lot of guys are still complaining. I see them online that there is nothing new out there. Nothing new is coming down the pike. Why is it that we only have finasteride, which is Propecia, or minoxidil? Well, let me tell you, and I've said this before, finasteride, in my view, is a fucking miracle. The fact that there's a drug that exists that actually slows or stops the progression of hair loss, it's like black magic. When I was starting this process, it did not exist. So my first few years, I was dealing with a lot of, you know, bogus products and services. I was lucky enough not to jump into surgery, because that would have at the time really destroyed my life, because I was not a candidate for hair transplant surgery. But, you know, fast forward to 2017, and not much has really changed as far as the way bullshit is marketed in this industry. It's about a $4 to $4.5 billion industry, depending on who you ask. And 99% of all products and services that claim to stop, prevent, or treat hair loss don't work. So in that respect, not much has changed. What has changed is people have even more access, or greater access, to more bullshit because of the internet. You know, we think of the internet as a place, or at least many people think of the internet as a place where we It's basically a consumer's research library. We have access to everything. But the problem is, and what most people don't realize, is that most of what's still being put out there, even though there's access to everything, is bullshit. It's self-promoting. It's guys in their basement who are selling e-books, guys putting out videos claiming that they prevented and they've been able to treat their hair loss naturally. Let me tell you something. If you ever click on a video in any field that you can't stop, you can't turn off, you have to wait and watch the entire thing, and it's kind of like on a vertical type of set website, like kind of like old school blog type of website, just click off of it. And that doesn't just go for the hair loss industry. Believe me, if there was a cure for hair loss, a natural cure for hair loss, not only would I be out of a job, not only would this show not be on the air, but it would be international news in, I mean, to a degree that you have never seen. People will be running through the streets like maniacs. Guys would be kissing, you know, kissing each other, just hugging, just strange bald guys. Anyway, I'm just going on a rant. 888-659-3727. Just know that this is your safe place. Just know that this is a place where we come and we share each and every week and we discuss a subject that society doesn't really allow us to talk about. Now, I don't know if Joe Tillman is frozen or if he's just sitting there. Okay, he's moving. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up our man, my trusty sidekick, Joe Tillman, the original hair transplant mentor who is live in Vancouver, British Columbia. Joe, how are you, man?
I can't complain.
Good.
I'm taking that line from you.
You're looking well.
It works. It works. How's my sound, by the way?
Your sound is actually excellent, by the way.
Good to know, by the way.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah, that's a great mic.
You heard me laughing before you potted me up. It's just the visual of...
I actually didn't. I actually potted you. I potted your voice down so it wouldn't interfere with my opening.
then you laughed at the right time or kind of chuckled at the right time because I was chuckling with the visual of bald men running through the streets, hugging random other bald men because they're so happy about a natural
cure. The world was shit would just stop. People would like they would take time off of work.
Oh yeah, yeah, no question about it. Some people would quit their jobs.
Some people would quit their jobs. They'd leave their wives
because some people have their third job so they can pay for their cloning when it comes out.
Yeah, you know how many divorces would happen? How many people just leave? Oh, yeah. They'll lose their fucking minds when they get their hair back.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be complete pandemonium. However, dogs and cats sleeping together. No, you're talking about these natural remedies, and I was also chuckling because, you know, going through YouTube, I'm looking at what other people are putting out, and some of the horse shit that's out there is just – like there's a doctor – out there, where he claims he's a doctor, and he's got well over a million views on this video that he's talking about natural cures for hair loss.
Yeah,
and he's going through it, and he's talking about nothing that's new. It's like salt palmetto.
Right. I wrote the book on that shit, and now I'm saying that it's bullshit.
But what was it? Nettle? Stinging nettle?
Salt palmetto, stinging nettle, Pygium africanium. I wrote the very first chapter ever to be published about those three herbs when it came to hair loss. And then I essentially said, you know what? I wouldn't follow those directions at this point because people are coming back. They're claiming they're having side effects from it. There's been really no clinical data showing. Now, there's clinical data showing that it lowers DHT. So at the time, that was pretty groundbreaking. So I wrote about it. But practically and in practice – none of those herbal preparations have helped anybody that I'm aware of.
Well, here's the problem with it, though. It's like if you're going to – it's like I never understood the idea of, well, I like to take it because it's all natural. Well, cyanide's all natural. It's like,
right.
Just because it's all, it doesn't mean that it's good for you or that it's not going to fuck you up somehow.
Absolutely.
A friend of mine in the Middle East, of all places, he was very anti-finasteride. He said, I want to be all natural, so I'm taking something ungodly, like I forgot how many milligrams or micrograms of salt palmetto, and he was having side effects from it.
Dude, I've had so many guys have contacted me who took – first of all, you know, my recommendations in the book were a specific formulation, standardized formulation of salt palmetto, pygium africanium, and stinging nettle. And what happens is people then see, oh, wait a second. There's a stronger formulation. More must be better. And you know what?
Well, that's
then these guys are impotent.
Yeah.
You know, and they think it can happen. So I'd much rather take something that we know is synthesized and standardized by a pharmaceutical company. And it's the same every time you take that dosage. You know exactly what you're taking. But anyway, 888-659-3727. All our lines were lit, but I know that Andrew's trying to call in too. And let me see if I could see his number. I think this is him. And guys, hold on. We'll get your calls in a second. Andrew, is that you?
Jesus, I'm loaded. I'm about to vomit in a garbage can on the side of the road.
Dude, first of all, A, I'm telling you we're doing the show every week. So when you write me from a bar saying, are you going to be on the air tonight? And knowing that there's a possibility,
yes.
Knowing that there's a possibility that the machine in New York may be broken.
I didn't know it was broken.
Can't you just go out and start drinking after 5?
No, it's after 5 your time. That's late for me.
Why is it late for you? You're a kid.
I left at noon.
Jesus.
No, I had no idea. It was Team Verde that was
Andrew's
there,
everyone. Fixed that.
Yeah. Listen, I was listening to the whole conversation about people refusing to take finasteride because it's not natural. There's a whole lot of stuff that's not that is natural that's not healthy for you.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's like cyanide's natural.
Tobacco's natural.
Yeah.
Tobacco's natural.
Pot. So that whole argument is ridiculous. I was actually just having a discussion. It's so funny because John messaged me and told me that the show couldn't go on because the machine was down, but we were just having a discussion about somebody that wanted to go on finasteride, but he was afraid because he read that it causes your dick to stop working.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's your conversation at the bar. Every time you go to the bar, you have to speak about somebody. First of all, you're junk, and the fact that you've gone public with the news, right?
What news?
It has to do with you and your wife and what's happening.
The divorce? Yeah, we've gone public with the divorce.
Okay, you've gone public with that, but I'm talking about the other news.
Oh, with the baby? The baby's due like next week. Right?
Okay, I forget. I don't know these things,
Jesus,
you know?
Christ.
I'm on a baby
well, congratulations
person.
Congratulations on that part.
I got like another month.
Dude, are you being forced now to like put money aside for the college funds? I mean, what's going on?
You don't even know. You have no idea what it's like now.
Dude, I can't even imagine that. So what do I do? Do I like send you guys
why
like
why aren't you going on? No, Jess goes, why aren't you going on the generic finasteride instead of the name brand Propecia? It's a whole thing.
To save some money. So what do I do? Like, do I get you the kid bonds? I mean, how does it work?
I don't know. It's a boy. So you want to pay for the moil?
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. If you're going to have a bris, right. I'll pay for the moil.
Yeah, you get me the moil. No, it's insane, dude. Like, it's everybody says, and I was one of these people, I'm like, oh, kid doesn't change you. Now I don't want to curse because we're on iHeartRadio, but now instead
Wait,
of like,
so
you know,
we're back on iHeartRadio? I didn't realize they were back on iHeartRadio. I thought we were off
iHeartRadio. Yeah, we're back, yeah.
Okay, well, welcome.
I got us back on iHeart.
Welcome our listeners on iHeartRadio. So I've been cursing this entire time.
Yes, you have.
All right, so I got to stop.
Damn it.
But
it's
insane. I mean, all your priorities change and. You know, instead of working out at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're watching Doc McStuffins on the Disney Channel, trying to just wait till 10 o'clock in the afternoon when she goes to sleep. You
Dude,
know?
First of all, God bless you, and I'm really happy for you. I guess that's what I'm supposed to be, but I got to tell you, and I'm very honest with this. And
yeah.
You know, I've never written this on Facebook or anything, but there are times in my life where I've turned over, I've woken up in the morning to common law and just thanked her. I just said thank you.
Thank you.
Just thank you. And
just thanks.
Thanks for not having children. Thank you for not forcing me to have children.
I sent you that picture. There's a great picture, Joe, that I found in, I forgot what it was. It was some newspaper, and it was this guy starting a podcast in Long Island. And this guy has two kids. This guy's totally bald and overweight, and the entire studio set up like Spencer's, like with the same lighting and the same foam. And I go,
you didn't send that to
you living on Plainview, Long Island.
When did you send that to me? I don't remember that.
I sent it to you like a month ago.
What's his broadcast about?
No idea. Probably like accounting, insurance. Who knows?
Dude,
it was in a magazine. I looked at this and I go, oh my God, this would have been Spencer's life. Living on Plainview. He goes to Temple every week.
Dude, I would have had, first of all, I dodged a couple of bullets in my life. And
that was,
you know,
a big one.
I'm absolutely, obviously a proponent of, you know, of the right to choose. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
So, but yeah, my life would have been, I have buddies that I grew up with who are literally, it was funny. I was talking to one of my best friends since childhood, last night, and we're talking about this one guy who was like the stud in high school. And we're just talking about how sad Facebook is. If you go to this guy's Facebook profile, and I'm talking about this guy got every chick. He was a great athlete. He was a great student, everything. He looks like the typical, like, just life just beat him up. His life is over. And it's like a picture of him and his kid. And, you know, on the dais of the kid's bar mitzvah. And this guy is a total Norwood. He's about 40 pounds overweight. The bags under his eyes, I've never seen. I mean, you could, they're like.
But I'll tell you something, Spence. That's not the kid. It's the wife. I got a couple buddies like that.
It's everything.
I got a couple buddies like that, man. And their wives beat the crap out of them every day.
No, I agree. I agree that it's the wife. It's the wife.
And that's my question. That's my question with you, Andrew, is you're talking about watching the show with your daughter every morning, where normally you'd be at the gym or something at 8 o'clock. What is Jess doing? Like, what are her duties?
She works.
Ah, yeah. That's where you got screwed, buddy.
You know, luckily for me, she's, you know, Jess is, you know, she's with it. She's not some old broad bitching at me all day long. But I went out to lunch with one of my buddies, and holy shit, I was with him and his wife because he brought his wife along, and I couldn't believe.
It's always a mistake.
I couldn't believe what this guy's life is like. And he was always like a good guy, like a cool guy, and she was awesome when I met her. And now she's like this yappy mom. And just complaining and just like, I could not believe it. I left and I was exhausted.
Dude,
all I
could think of was, how did this guy do it every day?
Dude, all I can say is, you know, there is ballet and then there's soccer practice. And then there's, you know, the kid's going to be having to take a violin or piano. And there's going to be so much to do in a couple of years. Just be prepared. You really got to get yourself mentally prepared for this.
Listen, thank God for me, it's not like a full, you know, I'm going toe in a little bit. Now I got my whole leg in now. You know, I'm coming home from the bar. I look, you know, I got my Mets hat on backwards and I'm looking like a freaking degenerate walking all over the place. So for me, I'm still hanging on to this legacy of being a bachelor.
Right. Well, you know what?
Don't what happens with the boy.
You have family that's able to help you out, so that's good. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, that's
a big bonus. You have the support structure there.
Listen, the good news is my hair. I'm hanging on to my hair, so.
Let's face it, that's all that matters.
That's all that really matters.
I up my Propecia usage, just to let the show know.
Really?
I'm back to every day. Yeah, I went back
to every
day.
Okay, so you went back to the North.
Okay,
that's cool.
Yeah, because I started seeing some loss in game, so I'm back to every single day. But Spencer, there is a picture that Facebook posted from 2013, so 4 years ago.
Yeah,
and I cannot believe that was my hairline.
Is that about the one that I reposted?
I don't know, but I'll send this to you when I go, because I'm almost back home. I'm up the block. So, but when I go in, I'll send this to you and you could bring it up on the show.
Well, first of all, both of us, the level of bloat from drinking back then,
holy shit,
was unbelievable.
Holy shit. Well, I'm a little bloated right now. I've been drinking too much, but especially just my hair alone, there's no denying that this medication works.
Of course
not. No denying at all, because I look like Richard Greco, like, dude, now.
Dude.
Like Richard Greco, like yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I look
like. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And
you look like, Richard Greco when he was, before he actually started losing his hair.
Oh, it's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
what's he doing nowadays?
Yeah.
Richard I don't Greco. Know. Thinking about his hair.
Did you know he's gonna end up on some reality show?
I'm sure he has already.
He probably has.
It's weird. I'm in the studio. I hear myself back. I'm on the Skype machine.
Guys, 888-659-3727. Andrew Zarian, I'll let you go. I want to thank you for calling in. I'm glad you're doing well on Propecia. Mazel tov on the kid. When's the kid due?
May 15th.
Oh, my God. That's almost my birthday.
I know.
It's between our birthdays.
Right on.
I know. Maybe we'll – and then you got to come here.
Maybe I will.
You got to come see the baby.
Jesus.
Spencer, you got to see the baby.
Is Coco going to be there?
Of course, oh, but you got to pay for the moil, though.
I will pay for the moil. If you actually have a bris, like I'm talking about full-on Jewish situation.
Yeah, I want the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. I want the biggest Jew around to come and do it.
Yeah, all right. We'll get it. We'll get him. I know him.
A super Jew.
Yeah.
Find the most Jewy guy and then bring him over.
Look, I'm king. I want
him more.
I'm king of the Jews. You know that.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right, man.
By the way, I'm going to send you this picture from Facebook to show you the difference.
All right.
Awesome. All right, guys. Man. Have a good
day. All right, you take it easy.
Right.
Thanks for the call, Andrew. Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
888-659-3727. Let's see what it says. Hey, man, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hey. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Who's this?
Thanks for calling.
So I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
All right. What's your name?
My name is Puya.
What is it?
Puya.
Puya. Puya. So we're having a little bit of a problem with your connection, but let's see if it clears up. It could be you're on a cell phone, right?
Oh, I'll try to get a better position then.
All right.
Like he's in the car.
So what can we do for you, man?
Yeah. So, first of all, I've been listening to your show for quite some time, and I really love and appreciate the work you guys do. It's a very special thing. Just want to put that out there.
I appreciate you saying that, man. Thank you.
No, thank you.
So
let's jump right into it. I'm 29 years old, turning 30 soon, and I've recently learned about Propecia after I heard about Trump and his doctor using the drug.
Now that let me cut you off for a second. That's fascinating. That's how you heard about him. How you heard about Propecia? That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So. So I booked an appointment with a dermatologist because I have been losing hair in that I noticed it. Other people don't notice it,
right.
But I know that my hair is thinning and it's sort of in a diffused way, becoming less and less dense. So, but not to the point where other people would actually notice it. But I know that from my father's side and my mom's side, I know that the progression, like if I take it and in the future, it would basically, I know that it would get worse and worse.
Well, look, we all know our own hair, first of all. And if you think you're losing your hair, you are losing your hair. So,
yeah, exactly.
The key is really early intervention.
Right, exactly. That's what I learned about the Propecia, which is why I saw the dermatologist. And actually, I saw the dermatologist on Thursday last week. And it was interesting to learn from him that he's actually taking Propecia himself. He was a 35-year-old doctor.
Right.
And he had a very nice head of hair. And he said that he's actually taking Propecia. And he looked at my hair and recommended that I also start taking Propecia.
Now, you're very, you're actually very lucky. Go ahead. Say that again.
Yeah, I think so, because I was very, I still am, but I shared with him my concerns about the side effects that obviously are all over the internet. Mm-hmm. But he basically kept reassuring me that, hey, you know, the side effects are far and far as few, and that he's taking it himself. And if, you know, what does that tell me?
Well, what I was going to say is that
he recommended me to take Rogaine.
Well, before,
as in, he said that that's an option, but he said he doesn't personally take it.
I'm going to cut you off for one second.
He doesn't believe that I need to take both or apply both to get results.
All right, can you hear me? I'm going to cut you off for one second. A, you're extremely lucky to find a dermatologist who is so knowledgeable and is actually taking the drug himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's able to really guide you based on his own personal experience, as well as, I'm sure, the experience of all of the patients that he's prescribed the drug for. I agree with his assessment. I'm not a physician, that, frankly, I never think it's a great idea to take more than one drug at a time, especially in the beginning. If you want to know what's working for you, and we know that finasteride is currently the most effective FDA-approved drug to treat hair loss, then I would start with what he prescribed, and this is what I would do.
Right.
And I would probably hold off on the Rogaine like he suggested.
Right. Yeah. So I bought the drug. Actually, he prescribed Proscar 5 milligrams, and he said I split it into four.
This guy's great.
And take Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
What's his name?
This guy's a gem.
That he takes.
What's his name? This guy's great. Let people know. You're calling from Canada, right? Toronto?
Yeah, Toronto. His name, it's a Toronto Dermatology Center, and his name is, I can email you later on if.
Well, no, that's, I mean, it's actually, I think.
I'll keep talking and I'll look it up.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So he prescribed the Proscar Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I also spoke with the pharmacist, and because I'm a little bit paranoid about what I've been hearing online. The doctor tried to assure me that it's safe to take the drug. And the pharmacist also was very reassuring. He said that he prescribed it to many people, and I talked with him for 15 minutes asking him about the side effects, because, as you know, if you go online, it is very, very scary out there.
Yeah.
Like, what you hear out there, I honestly...
here's what's interesting, and I think that, you know, Joe had brought this up to me earlier, that, you know, we have both said on the air that if it was today and we had – unfortunately, if we would have read the information that's online that's being regurgitated and perpetuated by, in some cases, people who have never even used the drug, there is a very strong chance we both would never have taken that drug. Now, if that would have happened, I wouldn't be behind this microphone. You wouldn't be calling this radio show. We wouldn't have had the opportunity to help millions of men and women deal with their hair loss. There'd be no American Hair Loss Association. There would be no The Bald Truth. None of this would exist. And, you know, we would not have had the opportunity to help as many people as we have. So I feel so fortunate that this information wasn't out there when I started taking the drug. And frankly, this information wasn't even out there for the first 10 years of me taking the drug. It all of a sudden just popped up. A couple of guys who had some adverse side effects started to kind of get this out there online, started some websites, and then it just took off like wildfire. And to this day, there is still no causal evidence stating clearly that finasteride causes any of these long-term adverse side effects that we're hearing about. I'm not saying that there isn't an anomaly that exists, but there's been no real data. So how do we know? You know,
that's
what I'm saying?
Right,
Joe?
That's
no,
right.
That's the thing is, you know,
I mean, help me out here. You're my sidekick for crying out loud.
Well, we can't. How do we separate the fact from fiction? I mean, we've got people that are even calling in, like that one doctor from was it from New York?
I don't think he's from New York, but yeah, he's a kidney specialist.
Yeah. And he was saying that he's got post-finasteride syndrome, which I'm not going to doubt.
Right. I believe him.
But like you said, there's no actual evidence. There's no causal evidence that points to this actually being an issue. And neither one of us are saying that it doesn't exist. But back to what back to about the side effects being online, it is to clarify that it's not, it's easy to, I guess, to misconstrue. But if we had known about the side effects, we still would have taken the medication. But if we had heard all these negatives that have not been proven scientifically,
exactly,
and the way that it's being bandied about by people like you said, and this, that's a great point, by people that haven't even taken the medication themselves with a fervor as if they had taken it,
right,
which blows my mind, then I would have been too scared to have taken the medication.
Right.
That's the whole point with that. So what you're going through, it was Puya? That was your name, Puya?
That's right.
Yeah. So what you're going through right now is atypical of what people experience when they're researching this and then speaking to their doctor about it. Based on my experience, a lot more doctors today are exercising caution, partially because they don't want to get sued by someone saying that the side effects weren't properly explained to me. I actually know doctors that are not even prescribing it anymore because of that.
Well,
they're afraid of that issue.
Then because I'm an open-minded person, right? I'm a scientific-minded person, and I don't like to go with hearsay. But I think if I had talked to a doctor like that and had scared me, I would probably never have thought twice about it and would just leave it alone. And it would happen, and I would probably be at a stage where I would be very disappointed with my hair in a few years.
Of course, you'd be a lot more pardon the word, but obsessed about your hair loss. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
in a worse position because you wouldn't really have any sort of option except for Rogaine, which
to be truthful, like all of these professionals I've gone to, I'm still not 100% sure. Like I was talking to my dad and he was saying, you're messing with your hormones. And he basically was saying, what if it causes you to have issues having children later on? Or, I'm still not confident that I'm making the right move.
If you're on hold, you're just listening to a guy who's been on the drug for several years and he's on his second child. So there's been no mm-hmm. evidence showing
that's true.
Showing that this not only does it pass through a man's sperm into affect the fetus. There's absolutely been zero evidence that it affects your sperm count or that it could affect your fertility.
It reduces the mm-hmm. seminal fluid, the carrier fluid.
So, I mean, that mm-hmm. that possibility doesn't even exist, at least on paper. And you don't read anything about that online either. So that's,
I'm doing my due diligence, right? Like, and I've spoken with the dermatologist and the pharmacist. The pharmacist was also saying that he prescribes it to many people he personally knows. And he says nobody almost, he was saying, has any side effects. And personally, he was saying he hasn't seen it. He was saying it's a very safe drug. I was trying to get, assurance from him over and over again. And I actually met with my doctor today, my GP, my family doctor today, and I told him the result of the dermatologist. And he was basically repeating the same thing, as in that he believes it's a safe drug, and he also prescribes it to many people. And they take it, and they don't report any problems, and he says that many of them don't want to come off of it because they're so happy with the results that they're seeing.
Well, then what else do you need?
The doctor today. Sorry.
What else do you need? You got three people that you look to that are authorities.
Like, pretty much,
all three of them are confirming that you've done the right thing.
Right now, up in the air. The reason I went to see him was I wanted to get a full male hormone panel test. Requisition for that, hoping that if something does happen, like the PFS, the post-finasteride syndrome, I was hoping like this could, help maybe diagnose any issues down the line. So that was one of the main reasons I was calling today, which was what your thoughts are about that and what specific hormones you might recommend. I can tell you the list of hormones that he's written down for me to take.
Okay.
So he's suggested, he actually said, I don't need to do this. He said, none of this is necessary. He basically
let me interrupt you with a question. How long have you been taking the medication now?
Well, I haven't started yet.
You haven't started?
So
okay.
I haven't started yet. I'm still in the process of doing my due diligence.
Okay.
Because I want to get a baseline, basically, from my understanding online was that, you know, it's a good idea to get a baseline of your hormones, such that if anything does go wrong.
Well, it's not a bad idea to get a baseline of your PSA. That's not a bad idea. But as far as worrying about getting your baseline of your testosterone and any type of other hormonal or hormone panel, most doctors will tell you that it's not necessary. But, you know, I mean, it's not going to harm you. You're just going to have to pay for the test.
No, it won't, yeah. But he's basically written down estrogen, progesterone.
Right.
FSH, LH.
Right.
Free testosterone. Prolactin.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of pressed him to also put sex hormone binding, sex hormone binding G. So SHBG.
Okay. SHBG. Now also, since you're getting your blood work done, you might as well have a PSA as well.
And in terms of short-term side effects, what should I expect to, you know, sort of happen that I will get slowly adjusted to and not freak out? Like, I heard that you might shed in the beginning stages of taking Propecia. Is that
that's a phenomenon that does happen. In my experience, it's not common. Usually what happens, what you're talking about is kind of like a telogen effluvium where you have a more noticeable shed than you normally would have. And in my opinion, what it's doing is it's, you know, what this medication does is it fluctuates or it affects the growth cycle of the hair. And when you have something that comes in and interrupts this process, I look at finasteride as being a reset button for a lot of the hairs that are currently growing. Say they're already in anagen, which is the active growing state, they may reset, go into the telogen state, only to come back in roughly 3 or 4 months, which is usually how long it takes for the resting state anyway. And when they do come back, they usually come back stronger, and that's where you start to see your improvements. However, that's not the case for everyone. I have heard people saying that they've had a telogen effluvium and it didn't really recover to the point where they thought it should have. But in my experience, it's more of a rarity. Not impossible, but it's fairly uncommon.
I would agree. And also, you know, a lot of people do experience it. This is more common than I think most people talk about. But sometimes you will experience a kind of dull ache in your testicle.
Yep.
I experienced that when I first started taking the drug.
I did as well.
Yeah. And it lasted several weeks, actually. It wasn't really a really nagging problem for me, but it was noticeable.
It's like the feeling that carries on maybe an hour after you got kicked in between the legs.
Right.
It's still there.
Yeah.
And it's bothering you, but you've recovered.
Right.
It's kind of like that.
It's not bad.
No.
So that's a possibility. Also, a lot of people, probably more people than report, will see a lower volume of seminal fluid or an overall ejaculate. Unless you plan on shooting ropes and being in porn, I don't see how that affects anybody, but some guys are affected by that mentally. And really, that's probably, at least from the experience that has been provided to me for the last 20 years and all the anecdotal reports, those are the most common side effects. Now, obviously, there's the side effects that you're concerned about, but it's, in most cases, pretty rare. So this is the problem that I see, especially for young guys, guys your age who are really taking so much time to do their due diligence, which is not a bad idea. But, you know, you've obviously read a lot of negative reports. You've read a lot of the hearsay, and you've read probably from a few guys who've actually experienced these adverse side effects, and it's already in your head. So what you have to try to do, and you said you're very open-minded, is to listen to your doctors, listen to the pharmacist, mm-hmm. listen to those who've had positive experiences, listen to Andrew Zarian, who was on the phone right before you, he's on a second kid. He says it's the best thing that he's ever done for his life. There are millions of us out there who have done really well with the drug. Mm-hmm. So try to concentrate on the positive. Because, you know, sex is definitely between our ears.
Yeah, I don't want to get scared because, honestly, any drug, people will say there is this and that problem with it. And I want to actually get the facts. And that's exactly right. Like, I consulted with three different health professionals, two doctors and pharmacists, and they have all been very positive about it. And they have no stakes in it. And they're basically telling me that it's very safe to take. I just wanted to, you know, make sure that I'm covering all my bases.
Well, here's the thing, you know, and that's smart. We have no stake in it. We have no skin in the game. You know, Merck, they do not sponsor this program. Your doctors have no stake in it. Your pharmacist has no stake in it. So I think that, you know, you have to kind of just take the information from the professionals, and I'm not talking about us. You know, we're knowledgeable, but I'm talking about from your physicians and from your pharmacists, and really look at the true data that's out there, and that's how you make your decision.
Yeah, that actually leads to my final question, which was where is the best resource online to actually get the right information? Because honestly, there is so much information if you Google that it's a never-ending night when you're up till 4 a.m. reading of all the horror stories. And,
honestly,
the
bottom line is you want to go to sites like, I would say, WebMD, which has really, mm-hmm. really good information provided by the American Hair Loss Association. Also stuff – and also some information provided by other resources about finasteride. And I would say that, you know, go to the professional sites. If you start to go to message forums and you find your information through sites that are really geared towards those who've had adverse side effects, then you're going to be scared shitless. Now, it's good that you know that these are all possibilities, but you have to look at the true percentages. And the true percentages, at least clinically, are extremely mm-hmm. low,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if you look at the actual data that's out there, not, you know, so-called studies that were actually just surveys or not information being provided by anonymous posters on the internet, then you're going to be at least armed with accurate data. But also, I don't mean to cut you off, but with any medication, there is a risk of side effects. That's just the way that it is. But you can't, you know, if you're going to take this drug, go in there with all the positive information that you have and try to forget about mm-hmm. the negative stuff. If you mm-hmm. can't do that, then don't take the drug.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I totally understand the placebo effect. Like, for example, many people complain about brain fogginess or not having ability in the gym to weightlift, you know, very strongly. Honestly, like, there are days I go to the gym, you know, I'm not on any drugs, and I feel weak. Or there are days when I do have brain fog. So I totally agree with you there. Like,
I was joking, but the truth is I didn't eat much today. I had mostly protein. I can tell that I am not quite as sharp as I'd like to be right now for the show. Plus, the wine doesn't help. Mm-hmm. But that happens to everybody, you know? That's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I'm 52, I'm 52 years old, almost 52 years old, and I have a lot of muscle mass. I've been on this drug for a long time, since I was 29 years old.
I totally agree, I mean, I think this is an important enough thing for me personally that I don't want the fear or the irrational fear sort of stopping me from doing something positive about it, especially when there is an opportunity to do so. So my strategy to just get all the information. And I really thank you for taking my call, and it has really addressed a lot of the concerns I have. I'm going to do a little bit more research, but one of the main things that I wanted to ask you was the blood panel results, especially the hormone results, and which you mentioned the PSA will be useful. So I'm going to have my doctor put that in there, but I wanted to... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Personally, I think that the PSA is the most useful. You want to try to get a baseline PSA. And as long as your PSA is under like a 4.0, you know, that's what they consider to be normal. Yeah. And once you're on the drug, they're going to double that number just to make sure that you're within a normal range.
Yeah. So, by the way, I found that doctor's name. I'm not sure if I should say it on the air or not, especially given
you can. I mean,
disclosed that he's taking the drug. Like, could that be like a personal information that maybe he doesn't?
No, you have no obligation to the physicians. The other way around, and it's up to you. You know, I don't think he's going to be embarrassed to say that he's taking the drug, but because he's telling his patients. But that's up to you.
Yeah, I think this is a safe enough environment. I think you're right. I think that's.
Well, I can tell you this. I think, this guy knows the drug. He takes it himself, and he's willing to speak very openly, and candidly about it, and prescribe it. I think he could be a great resource for a lot of our listeners.
Okay. Yeah, his name is Dr. Manish Prabhakar.
No one's even going to understand that anyway.
Okay. He's Dr. Prabhakar. So, P-R-A-B-H-A-K-A-R.
So the mobs are now forming.
Sorry?
The mobs are now forming with pitchforks outside of the doctor's house.
He works at the Toronto Dermatology Center.
Listen, there's always people out there who are looking for guys who could really advise them on the use of this drug. And it's always nice to hear from a doctor's perspective, not just based on, the fact that he's prescribing it to a lot of patients, but his own personal experience with the drug and the fact that he's using it and he's doing well with it and he feels comfortable enough to use it and prescribe it. I think that's really important, and it should give you a lot of confidence.
Yeah, no, that definitely was a very positive and surprising thing. And I think I, from what you're describing, I have been very lucky. It could have been totally the opposite way.
Well, at least now you know, at least you have a real chance and a choice.
Yeah.
And in the end, the choice is still yours to take the drug. But at least you've gotten a solid and a fair education, as opposed to just hearing
hearsay. Given
a
fair chance to make your own decision.
Absolutely.
In an unbiased fashion. So I think you've got a lot of information to go on. Research is good, but don't research too much, because that can also be counterproductive. You might start running into these sites that have a consistent biased message. So just look at the data, and at some point you got to make a decision on what to do. So, I don't. Sometimes too much information can be harmful. So I think that you've got a great baseline of knowledge already. You got a great baseline of understanding, and you got a great baseline of unbiased opinions from the professionals you've been talking to. I think that you're set to make a decision one way or the other.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that helps a lot. So thank you very much, guys. Just one last note before I turn off the phone and I continue listening. I just want to ask you, I've heard that it's better to delay taking this drug until such time that you actually need it. The other school of thought is the earlier you take it, the more of it you keep. But do you think there is any merit to actually waiting until
let's put it this way. When you start to notice that you're losing your hair, you've already lost 50% of hair in that given area that you've noticed hair loss. So Okay. Really, the key, yeah, if you're going to take this drug, is the earlier the better. Early intervention mm-hmm. really leads to long-term success.
Right. Okay.
You don't want to be you want to be in a position yeah. where you can prevent the loss, as opposed to being in a position where you're trying to regain what you have lost.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. once you've lost mm-hmm. it, it's absolutely impossible to have it restored to be 100% of what it was before.
Right.
It started mm-hmm. to go to begin with. So never forget that.
Okay. All right.
All right, man. Listen, okay, good luck.
Guys.
Call us back. Really call us back once if you start to take it, and let us know how you're doing, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Thank you so much.
All right, you got it. Good luck.
Okay. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. Thanks, you too.
Okay.
888-659-3727. Let's see who this is. Hey, man, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hello, Spencer.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you, not Joe from Staten Island?
Is Joe Tronic there?
Yes, he is, actually.
Joe Tronic is dead. There is no Joe Tronic.
Joe, I want to make a truce. You're a Joe. I'm a Joe. Let's make a Spencer sandwich.
I'm in.
My name is Joe from Staten Island.
Excuse me.
Would you like to reiterate it?
My name is.
Have you heard it? Excuse me.
My name is.
Joe from Staten Island.
Spencer Sandwich.
It's kind of sad that we have to use his opening. He did like he doesn't call in anymore, but.
It's such a great opening, though.
Yeah. But
He lives on. He lives on.
He does. You know why? We want to keep Joe as a part of the show.
Because there's a little bit of Joe in all of us.
That's right.
And, you know, we got two Joe slices of bread. Spencer's in the meat in the middle, and we make it work, you know?
And you know what? I think Joe would appreciate that.
Does sure no one care how I feel about this?
You don't have to say so.
Hey, what about me?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Last week we reminisced and talked about some stuff as we do, and I didn't get to tell you the story, and so I said I'll call in this week if I have time. And I was okay, I can call. And the funny thing is, I have a duplicate story to tell that has reinforced the knowledge that I attained from the last week's story.
So it's a similar story, or is it the exact same story, like a deja vu type of situation?
Well, I'm not going to spoil it. Spoiler alert.
All right.
You know? So, okay, so the first story. I work at that restaurant, you know, I haven't seen you in a while, but I frequent the bar, you know, and get drinks and stuff.
Right.
And there's this girl that keeps walking in, and I'm like, I know her. And I'm like, I realized I met her on a dating website, and we had went to lunch one time to meet each other. And I don't know if she used to be a model, but she definitely sent me some really nice pictures. And she's a little older. She got some kids, and she was talking to me, and she was really into me. And I think I was into her, you know, and stuff. But she was like one of the smart ones that kind of just like assessed the situation and realized that, you know, it's not like, I don't know, the timing or something, the distance or whatever it is. Because I don't really sit there and make myself 100% available, because I don't like to commit before I can commit, you know.
Right.
A lot of girls, they want to have the clear slate, you know, the runway free. And I'm just like, you know, I like to see how it goes, and I don't like, well, anyway. So she basically like said, well, yeah, let's go out, blah, blah, blah. And then she calls me, like, we called each other the next day, and she goes, you know, I thought about it, and I just thought, you know, you're attractive and I like you and everything, but it's just, I think we're in different spots. I'm kind of looking for a little bit more than that. And I was like, okay, so this has happened.
You mean she's looking for an older rich guy?
Pretty much.
Don't go bad. damn you. Oh, man. I'll never watch a movie with you. Anyways, basically this is the cure for baldness, is become rich. Because she's showing up at my bar like on a weekly basis, sometimes nightly basis, with this guy. It's like their spot. And it is the most awkward thing, because I notice her. I can't tell if she recognizes me, but the fact that she doesn't make much eye contact tells me that she does.
Right.
And nothing is better revenge for a woman who you've turned down in a relationship status or whatever than to them come into the restaurant and see you working there with their new man. It's like they've got the best revenge. You're just sitting there
Swally
now,
Mack.
Now, what's your new man like? He's like a probably like an older Norwood, right?
Oh, man, he's past Norwood. He's got the streaks going from the top of his head backwards. Like, you can see the shoehorn. Right. Horseshoe. And he's got the strings going back. He's a decent-looking guy. He seems nice, but, like, I look at it and I always, like, you know, like, I always think, I don't know, I hate to hate on a guy. And that is nothing to do with him being bald. But I just look at him and I'm like, he's like, you know, she wasn't looking for something like that. So I think it's a settle, but I can't be sure. Who knows?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, and this is what guys think. Guys think it's a settle, but it's not a settle for women. Women actually are attracted to that. Women, you know, especially when they have children, you know, they want the security. So
they want stability. It's a nesting instinct. They got to have stability. They got to have the house.
Right.
They don't want the apartment. They want a house unless you live in like New York City or someplace. But they want the house. They want the stability. They want not a paycheck, but they want the career for their guy.
Right.
You know, they want the whole package.
And
they want you for the fling on the side.
Exactly. All they have to do is close their eyes and make believe it's you. But
– Well, before you said the whole fling thing, I almost pulled the shotgun lever. I was like – because I got none of that other stuff you're talking about. You know, the thing – you're right. I mean, he looks like a nice guy, but he definitely has money. I mean, he's in there like every other night, and for some reason they've never sat in to have dinner, and I'm wondering if it's that thing. But I let them be, and I don't say nothing, but – It really sucks. It's like why, you know, like
why don't you
I
just go up to her and say, "Don't you remember me?"
I tried to take out your daughter.
Here's the funny story. The next story will let you know. Take out your daughter. God, this must be a delay in our thing. My brain, I hear it and then I go, "Oh, I got that one."
It's the brain.
She doesn't look at me, and I think that's weird. So I'm thinking she doesn't want to actually hear. You know, I'll take a beer.
She doesn't. She recognizes you. She knows you guys went on a date. She sees that you're working there. She likes going to the place. Obviously, her man likes the place.
She knows that you have pictures of her.
She's completely snubbing you. I would go up to her and say, "Hey, you know, long time no see. How are you? You look great." And she'd be like, "Do I know you?" So yeah, we went. Remember the dating site thing and the whole thing? You said I wasn't good enough and all that.
If she's smart, she'll acknowledge you and say hi, how you been? So great to see you. But if she's not, then she'll be like, "No, I don't remember you." And that's when you say, "Yeah, it was the over 50s dating site."
Yeah, remember? I swiped right and you said yes, and then you were like, "I'm really attractive, but I don't have enough money." Remember that?
Yeah. We got to look at the end result, though. This is great advice for somebody who wants to kind of reconnect. But I don't really want to reconnect, and I don't. And be honest, like, you know, I guess I'm a little insecure that she'd look at me and go, "Oh, yeah, well, you know, look where that got you. Nowhere, you know, that kind of a thing." I mean, it's a nice restaurant, but like my age is getting on to me where I'm like every time. So, I mean, I guess that leads to the next story. This is actually a worse story.
Well, how old is she, first of all? I'm just curious.
If I had a guess, she's probably here in her early 40s right now, like 43, maybe 42 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's definitely a stability thing.
You should be dating someone in her 20s, though, dude.
Well, thank you. I never turned that down.
Right.
I shouldn't say that. Actually, some of the 20, it's weird how they get real clingy. And that's so weird to me because when I was younger, they were trying to, you know, wrestle a unicorn down to get a 20-year-old when I was like around their age. But now that I'm like in my early 40s, they're like, if they see you're attractive and they can do it, they're like, I don't know what it is, man. It's like, I get a little icky because I don't want them to be like that father figure where they're like, "I need a daddy." I'm like, it kind of creeps me out a little bit. I don't want to be that like emotional support kind of a thing.
Dude, just take it from where it comes. That's all I'm telling you. Take my advice. Just take it from where it comes.
Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, enjoy it while you can.
All right. Well, the other story is we had a private dining event, and it was me and this other server. It was just two of us, and we're the only ones who really go over there besides the busters. And there's this whole party comes in, and this really attractive lady walks in, and And I look at her, I'm like, I know her. Is she like a, you know, like a pseudo celebrity I've seen before, blah, blah, blah. And then and she had shorter hair, and I looked at her and I go, oh my God, I actually dated this girl. This
Another
girl
one.
I actually dated.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yes. This is worse. This was way worse because I've actually, you know, she had a couple kids and, you know, she was thinking about introducing me to them, and I kind of like got a little cold feet. I don't want to get too serious. And she's, you know, and I liked her, but I just kind of let it fizzle out. And then she's there, and then this guy sits next to her, and he's a little older, and I'm just like, oh, no, not again, not again. And it was like a party, and she sees me like at a glance, and then, but she doesn't really notice me at that time. And then I'm sitting there, and I told my freaking friend, server, that what happened, and he goes, oh, and then later he pulls this on me. He goes, I can't. He goes, I'm on another table. You have to go greet them and take the drink order. So I'm like, you son of a bitch. So I'm like, I just swallowed my pride, and I went down the line and got the drinks and got to her, and I go, what would you like to drink? She's looking down. She goes, yeah. And then she says something. She looks at me, and her mouth, like, very lightly, this is how I knew she was with the guy, it very lightly drops open, and her eyes go wide. But it wasn't a bad look.
Right.
It was almost like, it's you,
right,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the only thing I'm proud of this night is I gave her the coolest one-eyed blink that I've ever given in my life. It was like, have you ever seen Con Air when Nick Cage gives this little wink to the camera, they're zooming in on him slow motion?
Yes.
That was me that night.
All right.
I totally did that. And then she just kind of like smiled a little bit and looked down. And so that told me, yeah, keep it hush hush.
Yeah.
And so the whole night I had to eat shit that night and serve her man, and her sister and all their people. And to my surprise, they all left.
Now, was he in Norwood? Was he balding?
He was Norwood, yeah. He was, I would say, probably a Norwood 4, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
But the thing is she had a little bit going on, too. Like, it's a little bit of, like, in the part of her hair, you could tell it's thinning.
Really?
You know? Yeah, so we're the Finney family.
Right.
It's the water.
But the thing is, as she left, I said bye, and I went back in, and the people started giving me shit. They're like, so, spit or swallow. This guy just starts yelling, spit or swallow, because her and her man left. And I'm all, first of all, let's just clear something up. I'm not gay. And they start laughing. And then he goes, then someone says, so you know Jen? And I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, shit. Janet.
I don't think she's listening to the Bald Show. Or actually, maybe she is. Now you're telling us that she's dealing with some hair loss.
Or at least her man is.
I don't. Fuck, I'm such an idiot. Anyways, no, she's very pretty. It wasn't like she was dealing with baldness. I'm just saying, like, you know how I always listen to you now, and I started looking at women's hair, and I saw a little touch of it. She still looks gorgeous. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Good save,
yeah,
dude.
Apparently she had.
Good save.
She had, she's, I don't know. She told them. She texted them, and they just gave me all this crap. And they're like, "Yeah, they're out there in the parking lot fighting right now." And I'm like, "Oh my God!"
Look, here's the thing for all the young guys out there, and you're a guy in your 40s now. But I mean, there's no doubt, and I've said this my entire career, even when I was young. You know, it was just like you just know it that women are just different than us. We think that they're not, but they are. And in the end, especially when a woman gets past the age of 30, she is absolutely interested in status. It's just a natural instinct.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the way that it is. So you're right. The cure for baldness is status. Not just money, but status. You know, women.
Well, the hunter. Ahead. Go ahead.
Well, women are always interested in that status because if you look at, like, really young women. There are always the chicks that go for the bartender because in that scenario, the bartender is the guy with the status, you know. And then as women get older, they realize, wait a second, I'm dating a fucking bartender. They go on to the next level of status. But it's really just about that kind of, you know, that status thing. And that's what turns chicks on. Everyone's so worried about their hair. Look, I want to keep my hair. I'm going to do whatever I can to keep my hair. But the bottom line is – you know, I don't think that I would not get a woman. Well, maybe that's not true. I'd be such a mental case, you know. But it's in most cases, it really doesn't affect people's relationships as they get older.
No, it didn't seem like it. They seemed pretty healthy. It reminds me what you're saying. It reminds me of when I learned about the hunter-gatherer syndrome, or is it, I don't know if it's called syndrome. It's called, but anyways, in our DNA, you know, back in the more primitive times, the men were the hunters, so they had to go out and hunt and get the meat, and whoever right. got back the most meat and the biggest animal was like the king of the, you know, the tribe. And,
that's right.
And that's where, that's why men like to, you know, watch sports, play video games, and be kind of competitive, because we don't have to do that anymore. So, but we're still in our blood. So that's why we like that. And the women were the gatherers. They got the berries. They weaved the baskets. They nursed the children, and they made the home right. And that's why women like to go shopping and gossip, generally speaking.
And
design the house and make homemaking. And so when you look at it, it's like when we don't have to go out there and kill an animal to eat, we just go to a store to buy it. The muscle's now turned into, you know, financial success and security. So that's now, you know, driving the women to be a little bit more, you know, hotter and whatever. And that and with time, that may be like exactly why hair doesn't matter. Maybe back in the day, hair mattered in primitive days when you were a hunter, because it was cold outside and kind of, you know, whatever other reasons we have hair, you know. But now we're living more plush lives.
Let me give you an example of my life. If I am driving my 12-year-old Lincoln Navigator, which is still a nice car, and I'm stopped at a stoplight, maybe a young pretty girl will take a look at me. Possibly. It's happened, but it's very rare. If I'm driving my AMG and I'm stopped at a stoplight, it is just like nonstop stares. I'm the same person, same head of hair, totally gray, and it's because of the fucking car. And that's it. So in her mind, I am the main hunter. I brought home the most meat. That's it.
Well, I'm starting a valet service at my restaurant, so next time you park your car, just give me the keys and I'll take care of it.
Okay. Good idea.
How enterprising. Oh, okay. Oh, I get what he's doing. Okay.
All right, dude. Listen,
Joel will be Ferris Bueller. We'll drive it off the side of the bridge.
Jesus.
I can do that with you. It'll be fun.
All right. Listen, not Joe from Staten Island. Thank you for the call, as usual. I will, you know, I haven't stopped by the restaurant in a while. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. As you know, I'm there usually on the weekends and,
when is your ex going to be there again? I know she's not your ex.
There's very good chance the next time you're in the bar area, she might be there. She's been there quite often.
Dude, I will sit right next to her and say, don't you remember that guy?
Can you dangle your keys in front of her?
I will.
I would love to see that happen.
Dangle the keys, but ask if Spencer should ask if he can borrow your car, and you hand him the keys.
See, this guy's
when you hand him the keys, he should say to you in front of her, "I still don't know why you work here. I mean, you won the lottery, dude. It's like, was it just for the fun?"
Yeah.
and then watch her expression.
You know what? It'll be funny if she was there. I would absolutely point.
I'll be like, dude, what are you doing? Like a secret shopper thing? You own the joint.
Yeah, exactly. Undercover boss.
Like see you pull her from him. That would be better.
Dude, that'd be easy, man. Come on, come on. It's me. All right, dude.
You're all like. Syndicated talk show. You like whisper into her ear. Just walk to the bathroom. Okay. All right, man.
All right,
nice talking to you guys.
All right, man. Always a pleasure, man. You take care. Thanks for the call. 888-659-3727. Guys, I'm going to take a quick break. I actually have to get off the air by about 6:45. So if you want to call in, I had some weird cough just now.
I didn't hear it.
Jesus, I almost choked to death. If you want to call and have any questions, concerns about your hair loss, we'll be on the air for about another 20 minutes. So feel free to give us a call, 888-659-3727. I'm Spencer Coburn here with Joe Tillman, who's live in our studios in Vancouver, British Columbia. That means we're in two different countries, for those of you who may not be aware of that. We'll be right back after this.
He's an international best-selling author, a contributing editor for Consumer Digest magazine, and the host of the longest-running reality radio show for men. I'd say he's the man.
The truth shall set you free!
It's Spencer Copeland's The Bald Truth.
Hey guys, welcome back. 888-659-3727. That was Orange County Amy, who used to listen to the show when we were actually on the radio and was in love with intern Dave's voice. And
Dave.
Yeah. Dave just disappeared, man. Just him,
what?
Him and Joe, he just disappeared, Dave.
He just like what happened? Like the show
We switched
somehow, and
well, we basically said, "Hey, I'm like, dude, we're not going to be on the radio anymore. I'm going to go just on the internet." And he's like, "See you later, motherfucker."
Didn't he call a couple years ago?
Dude, I can't say that. I forgot we're on iHeartRadio now. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
Please keep the show on the air. Jesus.
But he called in randomly a few years ago, didn't he?
He did. He did. Now we're still good friends, not really, but yeah. You know, we're Facebook friends.
Facebook friends,
yeah.
There you go.
Every once in a while, he'll like something on Facebook. You know, I mean, it's not like I didn't let this guy into my life. You know, whatever.
I'm so anti Facebook right now.
I just filed that shit away. You know, I'm just like whatever Facebook. You know, I have to be on Facebook, so that's the situation.
Well, we both do, but here's the thing. It's like was it last week's show?
I don't know.
The caller was talking about Cialis.
Yeah.
I had my phone right next to us, and I said the word because I hear everything through my headphones or my earbuds, but I said the word Cialis next to my phone. And the next morning in my Instagram feed, there are ads for Cialis.
All right. I'll tell you something even creepier. Well, I told you the bone broth story when I went to this health food store and I asked for beef bone broth.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there were ads on Facebook for bone broth. Hey, that's when I knew, got to turn off that microphone.
Yeah. I just took it all off my phone.
A couple of days ago, I just happened to have my Skype mic on, just on Skype.
Don't tell me.
Okay. And I went to – I had a spot on the wall in the kitchen. I was cooking and some grease got on the wall. I'm like, how am I going to get this off the wall? I didn't realize it was there and so it was already kind of set into the paint. So I'm like, I know. I'll use one of those Mr. Clean magic erasers that I had that I used for my car. And I actually said that out loud to myself.
Yeah.
5 hours later, there was an ad for Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
With the CIA now hacking Samsung televisions to use them as microphones to eavesdrop on us.
I have a Samsung television in the main living room downstairs.
Yeah.
And it is obviously it's a smart TV. And I just disabled voice activation because that's what you have to do.
But it's not really disabled because they actually have a fake off mode where you think you turn it off, but you haven't turned it off.
Now, all I know is that there have been times when I've had some conversations with common law. Maybe they weren't necessarily just conversations. And then I would have like family counseling ads come up in front of that. It was in front of that television. I was having those conversations.
There you go.
So
there's no way we can't hide. We're constantly being monitored.
What I will do, first of all, turn off that television because it's got to be on actually, right?
Unplug it. Yeah.
That's a pain in the ass because it's like the wires are in the wall.
Got to do it, man.
I have two old Sonys that are still in really good shape. The
Trinitrons?
No, not Trinitrons. Not Trinitrons. I forgot the model number. I mean, they were at the time when you used to call televisions flat screens. You know, someone's old when they still refer to a television as a flat screen, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Good point.
But that is when they were referred to as flat screens. I bought these two Sonys that were super expensive too, and they're in great
shape. Were these flat screens on wheels where they had their own cabinet?
No.
Okay,
no.
I had one of those.
Are you talking about a projection screen?
Actually, it was a flat CRT, but it was like 40. It's like 40 inches. It's flat on the front. It was sloped in the back, and then it went down into this rectangular body on wheels.
This is when the first LEDs came out. They were all plasmas before, right? So this is when the first LEDs came out, and so they were around the $5,000 range.
Yeah,
and which is insane now because you can get a 75-inch for $1,400. Yeah. But great televisions, not smart televisions. Just good television that'll last you a lifetime.
Old fashioned dumb TVs.
But it's funny because they were like, it was state of the art. You know, it was like, oh my God, you have a 50-inch flat screen. It was like, you're rich.
You were the man.
You know?
Yeah. If you had a 50-inch flat screen.
Yeah.
That was.
This is actually the first LEDs, but they were still, the first LEDs were still expensive. Not LED, LCDs.
Yeah.
And then they were LEDs. So it was the first LCDs. So they were expensive. But the plasmas back then, a 50-inch Sony was about $15,000.
Yeah.
That was insane. Anyway, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. Everyone knows what the fuck is going on in your life. There is no privacy.
No.
I'm not even kidding you about the cars because it's I am the same man in a car. And like I said, you know, maybe I'll have like, you know, younger looking, you know, like maybe Hispanic chicks or people who are maybe I'm with a Hispanic chick, but, you know, maybe someone who might not be as much of a gold digger. Check me out. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to Caucasian women, it just doesn't happen unless I'm in that car. I mean, young women in their 20s. I'm like an old guy with gray hair in a Navigator. In that car, I am all of a sudden this hot, you know,
Brad Pitt.
Silver fox.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable phenomenon. You know what?
It's a fact of life.
Fuck it. You know what?
If this were 150 years ago, if you pulled up on your horse with a gold saddle, it'd be the same thing. I don't know.
I kind of get your point. Let's see who this is.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Two more minutes. Just two more
Jesus
minutes.
Christ. Hey.
I'm actually turning into Joe.
You are.
Apparently.
Two more minutes. No, I couldn't help, dude. I heard you guys talking about the cellular stuff, and I just have a quick story to tell you about how those things work. First of all, I know you have an iPhone. Are you just strictly using iPhone, Spencer?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and same with you, Joe, or what?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, okay, I have some Android devices just for testing different things I do. I'll make sure they show up the same. But, yeah.
Okay, so the Google is about selling your information for advertising and stuff like that. Now, I don't have I'm not the authority on all of this, but I can tell you this for sure. I stick solely with Apple for this reason, because as you all know, the terrorist thing that happened in San Bernardino, they held out, which I kind of, it's a shitty situation, but you know, we really need our security, and you know, we can't have back doors to our, because then nobody's safe.
You know?
I mean, terrorists can use those as new forms of terrorism, too.
Sure.
So it's like, I applauded them for the fact that they had to held their ground about that. But I was working on a project as an actor, and I was in the corner, and there was a lady working on a computer, one of the actors, we were on our downtime, and I heard her talking to somebody, and she said something about transcribing. And I, since I know a little about tech, I kind of perked my ears up. I said, "What are you talking about?" She says, "Oh, I'm just they're asking me what I'm doing for work. I'm transcribing." And I'm like, like other people didn't get what that meant. I mean, like, you're listening to people's phone calls and stuff. She goes, "Yeah, basically." And I'm all like, "Get out of here." And I'm like, and she goes, she played a button, and a guy's like, I think it was S Voice or OK Google. And he's all like, "I'll be there with the beer at around 3:30. And then she played another one. And I'm like, "Oh my God." She goes, "Yeah, it's in your cellular contract. whenever you sign one, they can listen in on your phone calls, they can read your text message, they can do what they want. It's very, you know, you have to pay attention to that stuff. And so I was like, well, so this stuff that you're listening to, and I started kind of like zero in on what she's doing. I go, why are they having you transcribe it? Why does a civilian have this information?
Right.
And she's all, well, it's not like I'm listening to everything they do. She goes, it's not like you're targeting the person. They're just, you know, she didn't know what she was doing exactly. But when she told me her job and what they require of her, what I got out of it is they have a computer that has an algorithm that listens to certain things. And when they're interested in selling products or seeing the behavior patterns of people, it flags them, and then it goes to the transcribers who actually listen to the things and then transcode it and send it off for other information processing. So I asked her what she was listening for, and she goes, well, they send her topics, and this one was about sporting events, and it was around Super Bowl, so I think they were either A, trying to figure out who's in the Super Bowl and how can they sell stuff to them, or B, who may be pirating the Super Bowl. You know,
so,
who knows?
So you're saying like that's why I got the chocolate singles ad on Facebook?
You know, that's your little search fields, probably, most likely.
Jesus.
But search fields are bigger. Like, whatever you search for are bigger. But here's the kicker. So I noticed, I go, let me ask you a question, because I know how certain things work. I go, you don't ever hear Siri, do you? Or anybody saying, you know, like, saying FaceTime or anything like that. And she's like, no, not really. It's always like, okay, Google and S Voice and other assistants, mm-hmm. like LG's assistant and all that stuff.
Interesting.
She goes, yeah, and I go, that's because, and I told her, I go, that's because Apple, it's end-to-end encrypted, and it goes through its data packages through the cellular providers. So basically what that means is they only have on an iPhone, they only have the ability to listen to your actual cellular phone calls. So if you're using FaceTime, or which is a better one, FaceTime audio, and not a lot of people know that, but you can call through, it's called VoIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol, which basically means it'll use your data to send it's a crystal clear phone call, even better than cellular.
Really?
I could actually listen. Yeah, I discovered it because I would ride a motorcycle and I couldn't understand people in my helmet when they were on cellular, but when they were on FaceTime audio, I could make it out. It was very distinct and clear, and even though it was a little bit, I'm hearing a lot of noise, I could still make it out. So FaceTime, yeah, FaceTime audio and FaceTime, actual FaceTime video and Siri, whenever you talk to Siri, and if you have the blue messages, when you're iPhone to iPhone or iPhone to iPad, whenever you're using iMessages, the blue text bubbles, they can't read those, see those, or hear those.
Well, then let me ask you, but if you have your Facebook app on and your Skype app, yeah, and your Skype app on, and you have your microphone enabled, then they hear your shit through Apple.
That's what I was going to, my next point. Yeah. Now, see, Apple's proprietary stuff, they're very good at it, and they end up encrypting stuff. But the thing is, in order for these apps to do it, you have to give them permission to use your microphone. And when they do, you know, Facebook sends a freaking update every week, and I hate it because they don't even put what they're updating, because they don't want you to know when they're doing that shit, turning that on or listening to this and that. So that's how you guys are getting pegged if you have iPhones.
That's the weird thing, though. I have my mics off for Facebook and for Skype. And then I'll only turn my mic on for Skype, because a certain person calls me through Skype all the time. And so I have my mic on for Skype, but not for Facebook. So what I did was I took off my Facebook Messenger, and I just have the Facebook app now. So I want to see if that works.
Well, the thing is that I don't want to make you guys, like, you know, put tinfoil hats on your head, but
I would like one, actually.
I obviously don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. But for the most part, I feel safest with Apple's proprietary stuff. With stuff that you're accessing through other things, there is that chance of those things get through. Now, Apple doesn't have multitasking like LG and all those. They have a more intelligent multitasking, which is as you need it and which ones need to run concurrently in the background. But they usually pause or actually disable, even if they show the page up in your multitasking page.
I'm going to show you how paranoid I am, and I'll show everybody how paranoid. There is black tape on my camera, on my laptop.
Well, man, I do that too when I masturbate, man. You shouldn't be masturbating during the show, though.
It's there permanently, man.
He's not wearing any pants, so, yeah.
It's there permanently.
We know that, man. We know. Yeah, I mean, the thing is this is the world we live in, and unfortunately, At some point, we're all vulnerable. This is the thing. Some people are like, oh, I don't want to put my fingerprint sensor in there. And I find that the most ignorant thing. If they want your fingerprint, they're going to get it. And by the way, if you've ever been to the DMV, they have your fingerprint. Right. A fingerprint is not hard to get at all. So it really provides a lot of.
Well, especially when you're giving it to them because you're taking your client's glasses and just handing them off to be scanned.
Well, also when you buy a car today, depending on the car and the company, but say, I don't know, Mercedes, for instance, part of when you sign on that dotted line, you got to provide a fingerprint, a thumbprint. And that then
that's
is
– because they get a lot of drug dealers buying those cars.
Absolutely.
Like that. That's right.
But that's scanned in and that can go anywhere.
Yeah. So. Well, the whole thing is if you – like whoever out there, you know, just loaded their shotgun and has their Confederate flag waving and about to, you know, just understand that if you really want to be completely 100% safe from any of this stuff, you got to go live by down by the river and you got to get off the grid. And pretty much even then, you know, the quality of life is too high to actually avoid these things. The only thing I'm trying to say is that there are certain things you can do to prevent the amount of data that is being taken from you. And the number one thing for me, and I hate to say it, but I don't do Android devices for that reason. Yeah. And I'm not a drug dealer. I never, you know me, I don't drink alcohol. I don't do anything. But it's just the fact that there's practices that I'm not aware of and I don't like, I don't do it. But I'm not hiding from the government or anything like that. I just like, you know, I want something. I like the quality, the build of an iPhone. I like the security feature that they have over it.
Right.
And I just want it to work. I don't want, you know.
No, and that's the thing. Like, it's like me too. I have nothing to hide. It's just I don't like the idea that if I'm ordering bone broth in a health food store, that all of a sudden there's ads for bone broth. I mean, that's not random.
That's Amazon. That's Google. Your search fields. Unfortunately,
no, I'm not. I've never searched for bone broth in my life.
He was just having a conversation face to face with someone.
I was having a conversation. I ordered it. I ordered the bone broth in his health food store.
And don't think for a minute that profiles aren't being built around your search queries and then the conversations that it picks up. Because right now there's a profile about me saying, oh, well, he's in his late 40s and he's looking for Cialis. Only because I mentioned or we were talking about Cialis because someone called in about it last week and I wind up getting ads for it on my Instagram feed. That's complete BS.
Damn it, Joe. Now I just got an ad for Cialis.
Exactly. See? Again.
No.
In addition to your Viagra.
You know, when you ordered that broth, were you at a store that has like, you know, you got, you know, a coupon clipper, you got their phone number and they got your kind of email in there or no?
No, nothing. It's a local place and
only thing you had was phone on you?
It's a juice place. And the only thing I was carrying was my phone. Now, I mean, even though you when you put your credit card, you sign, it's kind of like an iPad thing that they have. I would say the only way that this could have happened is because of my iPhone.
Mm. Now, that makes sense.
I recently took off the Facebook Messenger app, so hopefully that'll help. But I may take Facebook off my iPhone anyway, completely. What's the point? When I need to use Facebook, I'll just use my laptop.
That's what I do.
Facebook, Google, and Amazon are like the biggest, like the top three that like mark you and start to, you know, send stuff. And the thing is some of those things I don't really mind, but the thing that kind of really pisses me off about it is that it's advertising the shit I just bought. You know, I just bought a Captain America shield, and now I look and there's Captain America shields fine. I already got one. I don't need 15 of them, you know.
Yeah, that's wild. And the fact that you bought a Captain America shield speaks volumes, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I know that, and I work in a restaurant.
and he's comfortable with that.
I should serve with that. I should serve drinks on that thing. Pretty awesome.
Dude, you're getting into like 40-year-old virgin territory.
Well, you know I'm not a virgin. But yeah. I'm starting to feel that way. It's pretty.
You know, do you have like one of those big gamer seats in your house? Those chairs, those gamer chairs.
You asshole! I don't have one of those, but I just got that virtual reality set.
Oh, but you want one?
You know what? Oh God, let me tell you this: the PSVR is a virtual reality set. It's the most affordable one, even though it's expensive. And I really appreciate something about it. When you put that headset on, I know you would think about this too. You think about your hair, you think about that front forehead sticking out of that big ass goggles. They actually have a forehead guard. So
really?
Unless you have severe, balding, all the way to the back, you get most of the top of your head covered and you don't look that goofy. And I thought about that. And I'm like, man, my insecurities are growing because I'm actually looking at this.
And that's the whole point. It's virtual reality, man. You're supposed to forget everything and just enjoy that.
Oh, yep. Well, that's where with technology moment, we can say thank you, because the first place our brains go is virtual reality porn, which they have.
100%.
And then all they need to do is hook up some apparatus to you that you don't have to see. You just have to feel it's accurate. And boom, we don't even need women anymore. They're extinct.
Dude, let me tell you something.
Species.
Once there really is a totally real female robot, I'm opting out.
Yeah, we don't.
You know?
Dude, you're not saying anything none of us would have said. But the difference between you and me is you can afford a good one. I'm going to get the fat, ugly, used one that's got pubic hair stuck to its mouth.
There's actually, I got to get out of here in a second. There's actually a whorehouse, and I think it's somewhere, I don't know if it's in the UK or maybe it's probably in Japan. It's a sex robot whorehouse. Look it up. Somebody look it up.
It's got to be Japan.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Got to be Japan.
Bring a bottle of Pine Sol with you, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, apparently they say they clean them out, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
time
you should lick the bottom of your tennis shoes when you buy them because they've never touched the floor.
Actually, what I would think would be smart is if you had your own disposable, genitalia part that you can kind of just put in. You buy that on the way. It's in a bag. You put it in there.
On the way out, when you leave the 3D theater, you throw the glasses
right
in the box.
Exactly.
You throw your little vagina in there, your little used vagina. You got a box full of vaginas, and then you got a bum coming in there trying to recycle them, and you're like, hey, get away from those vaginas.
No, but you guys think I'm joking. I'm opting out, man. That's it. I'm in Costa Rica with my robot, and that's it.
Well, buy me.
C3 my hoe?
What?
C3 my hoe?
C3 my hoe.
What?
Very funny.
What?
It's like C3PO, but C3 my hoe.
I got it.
See, when you have to explain it.
I get it.
Yeah, you did.
I got it, but it wasn't funny. All right, man.
It's funny now. It's really funny.
All right, man. Listen, I got
to
go.
I didn't mean to take up the whole show, but I just wanted to tell you guys that. And FaceTime audio if you're making phone calls.
No, that's actually really smart, and I appreciate it, and it's good information, and I wrote that down, so I'm going to start using it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, man.
All right, take it easy.
All right. See ya, bye.
I got somebody actually coming over, but I'll take one quick call for 4 minutes. I'm choking, man. Hey, man, who's this, and where are you calling from?
Hey guys, it's Jeff. It's from Jeff from Connecticut. How's it going?
Jeff from Connecticut.
Hey, Jeff.
This cannot be a 4 minute call, but it's good to hear from you. What's happening?
No, it's good. I know. I swear to God, I thought I just called into the wrong show. Listened to that for the last 4 minutes, but it's all good. That was pretty funny.
It's a robot sex show.
I know. But yeah, no, I'll keep it short though. I'm actually having a repair surgery tomorrow in North Carolina though. So
oh wow,
I just figured I'd call
okay
in. Yeah. So I just figured I'd call in and say hi to you guys. And
who are you having it with?
What's that?
Who are you having it with?
Dr. Cooley.
I figured.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
He's been really great throughout this whole thing. So, and he's taken a really conservative approach, and we're playing it safe. And I feel really good about tomorrow, though.
Well, I will tell you that there's no doubt you are in great hands. And he does some of the best repairs out there. He's worked on some really difficult cases. I know Joe has some intimate knowledge of some recent cases that Dr. Cooley has really done some amazing work with. So I think you're lucky you found him.
Yeah, I talked about my case before too. Like the main problem is actually in the donor area where I had some FUE that was over harvesting, and I'm a young guy. I'm going to be 27 soon, but we're using some beard hair to fill in the back though. So it was a tricky to find a surgeon that sort of had the expertise I felt comfortable doing that with. But But yeah, no, I've seen a ton of results from him, and I feel comfortable going forward. So,
well, listen, do me a favor. Yeah. Call us next week because I got to get out of here. Let me know.
Yeah,
let us know how it goes. Call early in the program so we can have a long conversation. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll let you guys go. I think it's like towards the end of it anyway.
And I wish you the best of luck. You're in great hands, and I definitely want to hear from you next week, all right?
All right, yeah, for sure. Yeah, have a good night, guys.
All right, man, take care.
Have a great day tomorrow.
All right, thanks, man.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, dude, I got to go. Someone's about to ring my doorbell. So, guys, websites, theballtruth.com for archives of this broadcast. IHRS.org if you want to if you're considering surgical hair restoration. Honestly, I mean, it's really a place where you're going to have your best chance of finding a doctor who's going to do you right. You know what I'm saying? Who's going to do the right thing for you, just like Dr. Jerry Cooley. I mean, the fact that this guy found Dr. Cooley to do his repair is he's lucky. And
he is.
Listen, not everything is perfect and not every doctor has a perfect track record. But I will tell you this, just like any other cosmetic surgery, you know, I mean, there's a possibility of complications. But at least you know if you start with an IHRS or on the IHRS, you have a much better chance of making a well-informed decision that's going to get you to where you need to go. Also, the American Hair Loss Association, AmericanHairLoss.org. Hair HairTransplantMentor.com, which is Joe Tillman's personal website. We take all questions now through HairTransplantMentor.com. So if you have any questions that actually need an answer through email, contact Joe.
And they are. No, and that's okay.
You're always welcome to write the American Hair Loss Association. Our volunteers will get to you as soon as we can or they can and as soon as I can and as soon as – Joe, actually, I should get you working as a volunteer, but you have your own shit to do.
I've got enough things.
All right, guys. Until next time. Also, guysfromqueens.com. Check out the Guys from Queens Network. Download us on iTunes. Also, I guess we are back on iHeartRadio. So welcome to all of my new listeners who found us through iHeartRadio. And I have to stop or remember to stop cursing because I can't do that anymore.
It's a tough one. Give me an electric shocker from Vancouver. Every time you do, I'll shock you.
All right. That's a good idea. Until next time, be strong, God bless, and thank you so much for listening. Take care.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for any inconvenience you may have been put to prior to the program, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. And if you could now leave by the exits at the rear, that would be splendid. Thank you. Good night.